Yeah, hallelujah. Bless him real good.
You got him? Mm-hmm. Go ahead, go.
Ready.
I forgot I can't see.
I love your mouth, you've been blinders.
What the singer's saying tonight, we'll be all right in Hallelujah Square.
That's right.
No problem.
Amen.
Be careful. You make it like you hit your face every
thing,
puts it on
there. That's right.
All right.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
Glad to be here.
Bless you, Brother Jerry. Amen, brother. He ain't the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. Glory to God.
Just over yonder, beyond the river, woo! There is a city,
yeah!
A beauty line, where many loves are congregating,
yeah!
With palms of
victory,
in robes of white.
There's no lonely girl. over yonder.
Yeah.
I'll soon be
glory.
To see my Savior up on his throne. That hero will come ring out through heaven.
I say glory.
Hallelujah. This is your home.
Singing, praise the Lord. And that's the spirit of melody in your heart.
That's right.
Lord. All right, we're going to have Brother Andy and Charity. And I don't know if Hannah's going to help them tonight or not. I asked her this evening, she said she didn't know. Noah was going to, and he stayed with his grandpa. And I texted Brother Andy last night, and I said, Noah and y'all singing tonight? He said, well, Noah's with his grandpa. And I said, well, I'm canceling you then, Noah. I guess we'll go ahead and let him sing. And, so we're going to ask Brother Andy to come and everybody he wants to help him tonight.
Amen. Bless him, Lord.
Well, it's good to be back in the Lord's house.
Appreciate
you praying for us. We had traveled to a funeral, as you know, on yesterday. And I tell you, the Spirit of the Lord was in that place. And you know, I thank God that because Jesus defeated the grave, we can still have victory. I hope you come to praise the Lord tonight. You pray for me. I thank God that this isn't my final home, and I've got a better place to go to.
Amen.
And I tell you, just about every day now, there's something will take place or something will happen that will make us even more homesick.
Yeah.
And, anybody ready to go?
Amen.
I tell you, I'm homesick. My Holy Father has made me His own.
Thoughts together from singing to preaching, and Brother David Jolly has a new song that he told me back Sunday, he said, "Preacher, I got a new song, just whenever you feel like I need to sing it." So he's going to sing it tonight, and then the preacher will come preach
what
the Lord wants.
Bless him good, Lord.
Lord, Revelation chapter 5. It says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb to receive the power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all them heard, saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to him that sitteth on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever."
Bless him real good, Father. Bless your name tonight.
When I first heard this song, it really blessed my heart, and I hope it'll bless somebody here tonight.
Amen.
Especially listen to the words of this song. Not how I sang it, but listen to the words of this song.
God demanded
the sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah.
Restoring to himself his old
deeds.
So the Lamb, his only Son, was freely offered. Atonement for our sins, forever made. He and holy,
yeah.
Still God and God only would ransom and redeem us back again.
That's right, man.
Hallelujah, praise the Lamb.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That the law is a law, and justice and mercy had a meeting one day. And they said mercy showed up late. And when mercy got there, he showed up late, and he was burnt and bitten and bloody. And said the law demanded, wanted to know why, had mercy showed up late. And justice said, why was not mercy, why was you not here on time? And mercy said, Your Honor, he said, I'm sorry, but he said, I was on the way, I was going to be on time. But he said, there was three Hebrew boys. And they was about to be thrown into fire. And he said, I had to go by the fire where they were.
Amen.
Take care of them.
Amen.
And the law said, all right, but that still don't explain why you're so late on getting here. And mercy said, I'm sorry, Your Honor, but said there was a man down in a lion's den.
Yeah.
And he said, I had to go by there and take care of them lions before I could come, sir, I'm sorry.
Amen.
Justice said, well, we demand that you be on time. We demand that you be here when we have these meetings. And he said, I'm sorry, Your Honor, but there was a hill outside of Jerusalem, Calvary's Hill.
Woo!
And he said, I had an appointment to be there, and I had to go by there. I'm glad for mercy tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Brother Andy, come preach for us, brother.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, the Lord's good. Amen.
Yeah,
I appreciate each of you for being here tonight, and just thank God that we can gather together in the house of the Lord, and just being able to get together, that's mercy. Amen. Just being able to come and worship the Lord, and we're so thankful to be here tonight.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I know a lot of people might say, well, last night a revival, you know, it might die out. It's just as good tonight as it was Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm glad for revival.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah, yeah.
God's to give. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I want you to stand with us. Turn to James chapter 5 this evening. And I appreciate so much this opportunity. Appreciate each one that's here tonight. Appreciate Brother John and the Brotherhood Church for coming over tonight. And what an honor to worship with them again. Appreciate the great job Brother John is doing there. And we always feel like Brotherhood really is our home church. And my family still feels that way. And so appreciate Brother John. And let me just say tonight, for you Bethel folks, I hope you know you got one of the best here.
Yeah.
And I mean that. I hope you know that you've got a great man of God here tonight. That's your pastor. And he preaches the Word of God. He's always preached the Word of God. And so I'd encourage you, you know, sometimes he'd come to my church and he'll preach revival. And he'll tell them, you know, every now and then on the way out the door, if the Lord has led you, you ought to slip the preacher a 20. And then you say sometimes, if the Lord's really led you, you ought to slip him 100. And so I'm going to tell you the same thing. He's been here a long time. He's done a great work. Don't you take your man of God for granted. Because he's one of the best. And I'm sure that Brother Rick will reward me handsomely for those words. But we do appreciate you. But he's one that I can tell you, as a pastor, when you bring somebody in, you want somebody that's going to preach the Bible.
That's right.
You're not putting on a magic show. You're not trying to, you know, smoke and mirrors.
Amen.
And so I hope you love your preacher tonight.
Amen.
Brother John, I know Brotherhood loves you, brother.
Amen.
That does my heart so good. James chapter 5, and I want to get in to something tonight, very serious. We tried to come this week and preach to you some things that I believe would help you. And, you know, we might jump high and shout loud, but after tonight, are you still going to walk straight?
Oh, yeah.
That's really what revival's about.
Right.
And so we talked about, you know, mistreating the Holy Spirit. We talked about we ought to study the Word of God. And I tell you what, it makes you the most dangerous Christian the devil's ever seen. If you'll be led by the Spirit, you'll be a student of the Word, and you'll be a prayer warrior. And so tonight I want to talk to you about prayer, and I want you to look in James chapter 5 with me, if you will. And we're going to get down there in verse number 17. James chapter 5 and verse number 17. If you found that, would you say amen?
Amen.
Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months.
And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Would you pray with me tonight? Our Father in heaven, this has been a tremendous revival. And Lord, it's been timely, because Father, I sure needed it. And Lord, I hope and pray tonight that others have been revived in these services. Lord, tonight we've come to you not looking, Lord, to put on a show, not looking to just try to get people stirred up. Lord, I pray you give us something tonight that'll still be working on Sunday, and it'll still work a year or two from now. Lord, I pray you'd have your way tonight, and we ask it to be done in that name that is above every name. We ask your will to be done in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You can be seated this evening. You look into James chapter 5 and verse 17, you're going to find one of my favorite Bible characters of all time. I tell you, if you want to study somebody that's incredible, you want to study somebody that every moment is memorable, every story is something that'll stick with you, it's got to be that man Elijah. Elijah was one of the most eminent of prophets. Elijah was one of those men that we could talk about all night. If you were looking for words that would describe Elijah, you might use words like rough or rugged. You might use words like bold or zealous or self-denying or stern, faithful, and that word supernatural, because God did some incredible things in the life of Elijah. He was a man that could talk to God and the economies of nations would collapse. He was a man that could call out to his father and it wouldn't rain for a while. Here was a man that was an incredible prophet of God, a man that was a prayer warrior for the Lord. He was a man that every story of his life is one that we can never forget. I mean, you could start when Elijah burst on the scene. It's like he come out of nowhere. And the first time you see him, he's got his finger in the face of Ahab. And if you don't end this mess, there's going to be a drought. Then you could follow him from the time he burst on the scene. And we'll follow him tonight. You can follow him down by the brookside. You can follow him down to the barrel. You can follow him to a bedside. You can follow him up to where he has a battle with the prophets of Baal. And you can go on. Every story of Elijah is just incredible. Every moment is memorable. I love reading about Elijah. You can go down there and you can read about that time when the company of soldiers came and they were going to try to arrest Elijah, and he called down fire from heaven, and then they sent another company and he called it down again. I mean, this man was incredible, but he was just like most of you. He was scared of a woman, because the Bible says when old Jezebel got after him, he took out boogity, boogity, boogity. I mean, he was an incredible man, and the Bible said he was of like passions. He was similar to me and you. He came in with a bang and he went out with a blaze of glory. The Bible said one day he and Elisha, they were walking along, and Elisha said, I want a double portion. I can't even give away the one portion of Andy that I have. But they looked at Elijah and said, I would like to have two times what you have. And then the Bible said all of a sudden, Brother Ed, there was a chariot of fire that came out of heaven in a whirlwind, and it took Elijah up. By the way, I'm just waiting. One of these days, I'm going to be out of here. One of these days, God is going to call us home. Elijah went up, and you say, well, that's that for Elijah. No, because one day the Lord went up on the mountain, and the Bible said he was transfigured before his disciples there, and the Bible said two men came and talked to him about his decease or his death, and it was Moses and Elijah. Now, I think Elijah was an incredible man. You could read book after book. Brother Rick probably has book after book. You could read Bible dictionaries, and there's paragraphs after paragraph about Elijah. But can I tell you tonight, when God talked about Elijah over in James chapter 5, he didn't give us volume upon volume, but he cut down to the chase and he told us why Elijah was able to do what he did. He tells us why Elijah experienced what he experienced. He tells us why Elijah was so blessed. And he does it here in verse number 17. The Bible says two words. He prayed. May I say tonight, we need some prayer warriors in the house of God tonight. For you see, Leonard Ravenhill said, no man is greater than his prayer life. And I believe that. Yeah. The pastor who's not praying is praying. And the people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. We've got a lot of players, but few prayers. We've got a whole lot of singers, but few clingers. We've got a lot of pastors, but few wrestlers. We've got many fears, but few tears. Much passion, but little passion. Yeah. My friend, if we fail in prayer, we fail everywhere tonight. We need some men and women and boys and girls that'll get back to prayer. You see, tonight God could have said all kinds of things about Elijah, but he said he prayed. You see, tonight it seems to me that the most important thing Elijah ever did was he prayed. How do you stand in regard to your prayer life tonight? If God was to sum up your life in two words, what would they be?
Yeah,
he strayed. Mm. He complained.
Facebook.
Yeah. He fussed. He barely ate. He missed Sunday night and Wednesday. He didn't study. What would God say about you? I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest men in all the Bible. God didn't get real technical about it. He just said, Elijah, he prayed. Can I just preach for a little while tonight on the subject? Elijah, he prayed for you, see, tonight. I'm convinced that if the people of God would pray, they ain't enough Supreme Courts in the United States. That's not what God would want to do in this country. When Moses was cornered at the Red Sea, he didn't call the army. He called God. When the Hebrew boys were facing a fiery death, they didn't call the fire department. They called God. When Daniel was about to become the main course in the lion's den, he didn't call animal control. He called God. When Esther was faced with seeing her people destroyed because of prejudice, she didn't call the ACLU. Thank God. She called God. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing God can't do. If God's people would call on Him and speak Him tonight. Nehemiah saw the city destroyed and in ruins. He didn't call the city council. He called on God. When Peter started to sink after walking on the water, he didn't call the coast guard. He called on God. How many of you believe there's power in prayer tonight? How many of you are thankful for prayer? My friends, I want to challenge you to be a man, woman, boy, or girl of prayer tonight. I want you to turn to 1 Kings 17. If you're still alive, would you say amen?
Amen?
I'm convinced tonight that everything that God used Elijah for started because Elijah prayed.
Yeah.
And I want you to notice four or five quick things. I want to challenge you. I'm so tired of revival being good on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then the next Sunday the preacher gets up to preach and ain't no spark, just a little fiddle. I tell you, we need something tonight that'll be here next Sunday. We need something that'll be here next. Somebody ought to help me tonight. We need something that'll help us and change us. And if God's people start praying, they ain't no telling what God would do.
Amen.
Verse 17, I want to give you a few things tonight. First of all, praying people can trust in God's present day provision.
Gloria.
Present day provision for praying people. Look in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, and unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word.
Woo!
And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there.
Amen.
And he went and did according unto the word of the Lord.
Right.
For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning.
Amen.
Oh, y'all shout it out right there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Bread and flesh in the morning.
Yeah.
Bread and flesh in the evening.
Amen.
And he drank of the brook. May I tell you something tonight? Praying people can trust in the fact that God will give us our daily bread.
Amen.
Somebody give me a witness tonight. How many of you say God's always been there? How many of you are thankful for the clothes on your back and the shoes on your feet and the food on your table? But somebody tell me, how many of you are glad you don't have to go to hell? Anybody glad that you're saved? Without prayer, amen. Elijah prayed. He prayed. And because he prayed, God provided. I'm going to tell you tonight, we have not because we ask not. Tonight, if we'll knock, God will open. If we'll ask him, we'll receive tonight. He said, he shall supply all our needs. Not according to your riches, but according to his. And tonight, the Bible says, Elijah was took care of. There was bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And I tell you something, ever since I've been serving the Lord, I ain't never went hungry. Can you
tell?
I ain't never been without. God's always took care of me, and he's always took care of you. God takes care of praying people. Praying people. Notice what the Bible said in verse 2 there, I believe it is. The Bible said he went and hid himself by the brook Cherith.
Yeah.
Can I tell you there's something important about the hidden life?
Yeah.
Everybody in today's society is interested in the outward life.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, if you really want to have power with God, it's that hidden life that's got to make a difference. It's not so much what you do up here. It's what you do at the house. It's what you do at the job. It's what you do in the automobile on the way to work. If God's people pray, God would do something outwardly for what we do hidden tonight. The Bible said in Matthew 6, the Bible said there, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. Nobody wants to do that no more. Nobody wants to pray in secret. It amazes me. We may have altar of prayer, but it only lasts till our neighbor stops.
Amen.
And when we really have something important to pray about, we don't pray like this.
We pray like this, Father.
Because we don't want nobody to know. But can I tell you something? I'm thankful for what God's people do right here. But it's more important what you do at the house. And if you do it at the house before you get it here, there ain't no telling what power, what presence of God, what things God might do. I still believe he's a miracle-working God. I still believe he's a sinner's savior. I still believe there's power in the name of Jesus. But we're going to have to focus on the hidden part of the Christian life.
Amen.
The Bible teaches us that Elijah, he prayed. Elijah didn't go to school and get this. Nothing wrong with school. Most people that say something about school don't school and don't have none. I ain't got much. I'm going to tell you, we got a lot of doctors in the pulpit and more sick sheep than we ever had. Amen. Can I tell you something tonight? Elijah didn't get it from some education or some book or from some college. Elijah's first thing, well, you give me some man of God or some singer that knows how to get a hold of God. I'd rather hear them than to hear anybody else. I'm saying there's power when God's people pray.
Amen.
Praying people. Trust in the provision of God.
Yeah.
Well, I thought about that. I read a story. Brother Rick will know this. Brother John, Brother Jeremy, they'll remember this story, I'm sure. But George Mueller, he had an orphanage. And one day the children were dressed and ready for school, but there was no food for them to eat. The house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller about this. George asked her to take the 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the table.
Amen.
And he thanked God for the food they did have.
That's right.
And then he waited.
That's funny.
Boy, if that'd been us. But the children would have been hungry. But he waited. Brothers and sisters, after he thanked God and waited, George knew that God would provide. In a few minutes, there was a knock on the door, and it said a baker was standing there. And he said, "Mr. Mueller," he said, "last night I could not sleep. I knew you would need bread this morning, so I got up and baked 3 batches of bread for you." You said, "Who brought that in, preacher?" God's ravens still fly. How many of you thank God for bread and fresh air? Somebody ought to tell me, "Has God been good to you?"
Amen.
Soon there was another knock.
Amen, brother.
It was a milkman. And his car had broken down right in front of the orphanage. And the milk was full by the time the wheel was fixed. So the milkman said, "George, could you use some free milk?" George smiled, and the milkman brought in 10 large cans of milk just enough to feed 300 children. I say, hallelujah. You don't get that by praying. You don't get that by praying. You get it by praying.
Amen.
That's right.
Number 2.
Thank you, Lord.
Not only can praying people trust the present day provision of God, but praying people can rest in God's promise for tomorrow.
You're right, brother.
1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 8.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Now the brook dried up.
That's right.
Praying people follow God one step at a time.
Yeah, man, brother.
You say, "How do you know Elijah prayed?" Well, Elijah told Ahab what God said. How did Elijah know what God said if Elijah hadn't talked to God?
Yeah,
so the brook dried up. And it went on a little further. And the Bible said in verse 8, please, "The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee."
Praise the Lord.
So he arose. See, I love when God goes been talking to his people, and then his people go and get connected. If you don't pray, you think God's going to talk to you if you ain't going to talk to him?
All right.
You say, "Ain't got time." You ought to put that cell phone down, talk to God every now and then. You ought to put it on airplane mode. You say, "I can't, preacher." I tell you, you ought to do anything you can to get some time with God. You might hear from heaven.
Amen,
brother. Aren't y'all tired of hearing from everybody else?
Right. Yeah, right. That's good for you.
Said, here it comes. Now look at verse 10, please. "He arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse." Adrian Rogers said, "Here's a widow that struck oil, by the way." I like that. But she said, "I've just got a little oil. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Here it is, folks. If you're a praying person, you may not know what tomorrow holds, but you can know who holds tomorrow. You may not know what going to happen to this country. You may not know what's going to happen to this world. I say, if you're a praying person, you can know this. God's going to take care of you.
Amen.
You don't pray, you can't know.
You're not praying.
If you don't pray, how would you ever hear from God enough to know that the Supreme Court can do what they want, the White House can do what they want, the government can do what they want, but if you pray, you're going to hear a still small voice that says, "Lift up your head for redemption."
Amen.
You know these stories, I'm not go through everything about it. Let me tell you a couple of things about praying people.
Bless you, Lord.
Praying people know that the future is always uncertain. But we have the promise of the Lord that He will be with us, that He will go with right. us. He knows the way we will take, and He will look out for us all until we get home.
Amen.
Bless Him, Lord.
The future's uncertain.
True.
But God said, I'm going to put enough meal
yeah.
and enough oil.
That's right.
And I'm going to take care of you till the day that I tell you. Now, here's the grace of that. Because this widow took God at His word yes, and prepared bread yes. for Elijah, God allowed the widow's son, and Elijah to enjoy plenty while hundreds of thousands right. of people around them starved to death.
Amen.
I call that grace.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you, right now I'm feasting on the good word of God.
Amen.
And there's hundreds of thousands of people
Amen.
That are around us starving to death.
Amen.
But here we are. Woo! Hallelujah! We've come to
Amen.
Amen.
That's
grace. Yeah.
The difference in the widow's home was she was living by faith.
Yeah.
She talked to God and knew God would take care of tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. Here's the greatness of that miracle. For years until it rained, every meal was a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God worked a miracle in that barrel and in that jar every day.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
cut nothing and made it last until it was no longer needed. Am I the only one that believes they probably blessed that meal every night?
Right. Yeah.
Every meal was a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the greatness of it. Here's the glory of it. The glory of this story is this. I believe the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil were never full.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't believe it was overflowing, Brother Jack. Every day it got lower. I believe every day, Brother Eddie,
yeah.
that they would go in there
yeah.
and scrape them off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every day they'd hear that clang, clang, clang. And every day they try to dip that oil, and there was just somebody on the help in an hour. How many of you know that God's giving you just enough? Somebody on the help in an hour. Hasn't God give you just what you need? Amen. Every meal a miracle. I believe every time, Brother Rick, if they went in there to get more meal,
listen up.
They might have closed their eyes and said, Lord,
yeah.
I'm trusting your promise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, some of you know what it sounds like to hit bottom.
Yeah,
some of you know what it's like to get down to nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Earl, they get down there and clank. But they come out with just enough meal. They get down there in that oil and they say, Lord, you promised. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of possessions. I don't have a lot of goods. But Lord, He promised that He'll supply my needs according to His riches. How many of you are going to trust in that tonight? How many of you believe God's going to take care of you till He calls you home?
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Sure He will.
Amen.
But you wouldn't know that if you don't pray.
That's right.
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 That's right.
I mean, you might know it if the preacher says it.
Yeah.
You'll never know it for yourself.
Right.
Amen, brother. If you don't pray. You said, I ain't got time to pray. Turn the computer off.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
No time to pray. Turn the soap operas off.
Amen.
Amen.
No time to pray. You say, preacher, I got to watch my kids. Get that husband of yours or whoever to watch them children for a little while and pray. And if that man don't like it, he ought to get right with the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Some of you men, you're supposed to be men of the house.
Amen.
Start praying for your wife
Amen.
And your children.
Amen.
And God will surely bless you. We need some men that are stand up in this country and to be the leaders God called them to be.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Andy.
We don't pray anymore.
That's right.
We don't pray anymore. Praying people, number three, can be used of God.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Praying people. You say, I want God to use me. You better start praying.
Amen. Amen.
God don't use people that don't ever talk to Him.
That's right.
Amen.
So I'd love God to use me.
Amen.
I'd love to do something big for God. Well, you better start with something called prayer.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I get a lot of people that will say this, Brother Rick. Sometimes people say, I want to be a preacher. Bless their hearts.
Oh, me.
Get a lot of people want to be a saint. Mm-hmm. Bless our hearts. Sometimes. Every now and then you get somebody that says, I want to be a Sunday school teacher. Very rare. Been very rare in my life that I hadn't had to go grasp a Sunday school teacher. And I don't know that I've ever had anybody say, preacher, I tell you what I want to be for God. A prayer lawyer.
Amen.
Can I tell you why there's still a Bethel Independent Baptist Church in Glasgow, Kentucky after 20 or 30 years? Because there's some people that pray. And can I tell you why the other night when they asked how many people in this congregation had got right with the Lord and rededicated their lives to the Lord at Brotherhood Free Will Baptist Church? You know why a lot of people stood? Because they somebody paid the price.
Amen.
And they prayed.
Amen.
And if this church or that church is ever going to be anything but Jesus, somebody's going to have to pray. God raise up some prayer warriors.
Amen.
We need preachers and teachers and singers, but if we could get some prayer warriors, there'd be more preachers in the fight and more singers leading the song. God give us prayer warriors.
Amen.
Amen. God help us tonight. You want to be used of God? You better learn to pray. You say, where do you get that, preacher? Because the Bible says in 1 Kings 17 that everything's going good for Elijah, and then the widow's son died. The widow's son died. The Bible said, and I want you to look at this, in verse number 17. If you're still with me now, would you say amen? And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore, there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, carried him up into a loft where he abode, laid him upon his own bed, and cried unto the Lord. Thank God for somebody that knows how to pray.
That's right, brother.
Cried unto the Lord.
That's right.
And verse 20, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times, cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again.
Yes.
And the Lord heard the voice.
Woo!
I'm glad the Lord knew Elijah's voice.
Amen.
And Elijah knew the Lord's voice.
Amen.
I tell you, thank God for some people that can still get a hold of God.
Amen.
I don't know. Sure, I tell this all the time. But I thank God when my son Noah was born,
bless him, Lord,
that it was Nellie Bell sitting at the end of the bed.
Bless him, Lord.
Because she saved his life. And you may say, did she pray out loud? I don't remember that, but I can guarantee you one thing. The Lord knew her. And I guarantee you she was praying.
Sure.
Because praying people don't have to make a spectacle about it.
Right.
Brother Rick, when trouble comes, we can get a hold of God from the heart.
Sure.
We can call on God without words.
Sure.
I want to tell you, some of you are here tonight because of a praying grandmother, or a praying grandfather, or a praying mama. Somebody tell me, aren't you glad for praying people? And don't your children deserve one too?
Amen.
Bless my brother, you want to be used of the Lord? Elijah was.
Yeah.
Because he prayed.
Used mightily, brother.
But now I'm going to give you one other thing. Praying people get to see the power of God.
That's right.
Right.
Praying people get to see the power of God. Look at 1 Kings 18. You still alive?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay with me now. You know these stories, but please.
Yeah.
Stay with me. I'm going to read a lot of this. Because Brother Rick asked you last night how many of you brought your Bibles, and all of you said you did. But when he asked you who read them, only a few of you had. So we're going to read tonight.
Read,
look at 1 Kings 18. You know the story, but the prophets of Baal came.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 21, Elijah came unto all the people. What a man, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But can you get this in your heart? He was such a man because he knew such a God.
That's right.
Amen. And he talked to him and he communed with him and he's just like us, Brother John. And if God could use Elijah that way, he can use you that way, and you that way, and you and me. I want to be a man of prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Man of light passion.
He said Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long? Halsey between two opinions.
Oh,
if the Lord be God, follow him, but if fail, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Please read this, don't let the devil beat you out of this. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Mm-hmm. Let them therefore give us two bullets, and let them choose one bullet for themselves. Well, the odds were stacked against Elijah and the Lord.
Yes.
He said, let them, and they cut it into pieces, lay it on the wood, put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullet, lay it on the wood, and put no fire under, and you call on the name of your God, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. Boy, he knew how to do that.
Amen.
And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it's well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullet for yourself, dress it first, for ye are many, call on the name of your God, but put no fire under. They took the bullet which was given them, they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even unto noon.
Yeah.
Saying, O Baal, hear us.
Yeah.
But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon. Can't you picture him?
Yeah.
I think Elijah was a big man. He's a rough man. I don't think John the Baptist had much on Elijah.
Amen.
I picture Elijah just sitting over there. And it said in verse 27, he mocked them. And he said, cry aloud, for he's a God. Either he's talking or pursuing, or he's in a journey or peradventure. He's sleeping and must be awakened. And they cried aloud, cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, there was neither voice nor any to answer. Now notice that.
Amen, brother.
Now verse 30 is about to get on.
Yeah.
Because praying people get to see the power of God.
Amen.
You may not want to see it, but I want to see it.
Amen.
You may not want to see it, but I want my children to see it. Yes. I want them to know it. I don't want them to nearly break their necks snapping around to look at somebody because somebody shouted or because somebody got happy. I want them to be familiar with what that looks like and what that sounds like. I want them to see the power of God that can heal the sick and raise the dead. I want them to know what it's like.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. I'm convinced the only way you ever really going to see the power of God. Now, some of you got to see it because you're around praying people. Some of you just happened in here tonight, but there's some people in here been praying and they've seen the power of God. You got to see it because they saw it.
Amen.
But don't you want to experience it for yourself?
Sure.
Can I tell y'all something? I don't know if you believe it or not.
Bless you, Lord.
You know, it's been good in here tonight.
Amen.
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 But I've had some of this in the car by myself.
Woo!
Lord, give me a witness tonight. I've been sitting out on the back porch in a rocking chair and felt the same thing because God is an ever-present help and praying people get to see the power of God.
Amen.
My goodness, I mean, I've been sitting in the car.
Yeah. Lord. Amen, brother.
Had to pull over.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
Here it is, verse 30. Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And when the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Now look at this. You go on down through here. I want you to look at verse 34. He poured 4 barrels with water. 34, he said, do it again. And then he said, do it a 3rd time.
Right.
And they did. And there was so much water in verse 35, it ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near, said, Lord God of Abraham.
Yeah.
He couldn't have talked to God that way unless he talked to him before. But he said, let it be known this day, don't miss it, thou art God in Israel. I am thy servant. I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know thou art God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifices and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. You say, big deal, preacher, big deal. Can you start a fire with water? I don't think so, but God can. Hallelujah. I believe he can tonight.
Amen, brother.
The fire fell.
Woo!
Boy, it's God's people.
Yeah, good preaching.
Would be like Elijah. Start to pray again.
Amen, brother.
The fire would fall.
That's right.
Lives will be changed.
That's right.
Praying people get to see that.
Amen.
But if you ain't praying, you're never going to get to see that.
Bless you, Brother Andy.
You say, ain't got time. Well, the average person lives 77 years. That's 28,000 days. The average person, they say, spends 24 minutes a day getting dressed. That's 13 hours a month of your life getting dressed. 7 days a year, or 1 year of your whole life you spend getting dressed. The average person spends 40 minutes a day on the phone. I don't know where they got that number, but that ain't right now. But that factors out to 20 hours a month or 10 days a year. 2 years of your life are spent like this.
That's right.
Yeah. The average person spends 1 hour a day in the bathroom. That's 3 years of your life. Down the drain. The average person spends 3 hours a day watching television.
Oh,
9 years of your 77 are spent in front of that box.
Remember.
6 hours a day are spent at least not only on television, but social media, Facebook, internet, cell phone. That would be 18 years of your 77. The average Christian spends 10 minutes a day in prayer. That's 6 hours a month, 3 days a year, or 7 months out of the 77 years. No wonder churches are dying.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with our gospel.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with this book.
Amen.
Right. What's wrong is God's people want to see what the people of old saw, but they're not willing to pay the price that the people of old paid. I want to challenge you tonight, this last night of revival. If you could really dedicate yourself to pray, it would change your family. It would change your job. It would change your finances. You say, would it not? Yeah, it would, because you stopped spending it on some of that stuff God told you not to spend it on in the first place. If you'd start praying, it'd change your church. It'd make preaching easier for your pastors. It would make singing sweeter for your singers. And it would make services like tonight occur a whole lot more.
Amen.
If God's people,
amen,
which are called by His name, would humble themselves and seek His face and
pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Can we stand tonight? And I'd like you to just be straight up honest. What a man Elijah was.
Yeah,
I'm telling you. Every moment was memorable. I mean, just every moment, memorable. It is incredible. But I got to tell you, he's just like us. He's a man of like passions. He had problems, had issues.
for the Spirit of God tonight.
But right now, can we just be honest? How many men and women, boys and girls, right now will say, "Preacher, my prayer life, I'm going to have to get better at praying." Why don't you just come right now? Why don't we have a revival that'll last a while? We could go to the altar or go to the place of prayer tonight. How many right now, just come on. If you say your prayer life's fine, you stay in the pew.
Heartaches and problems,
your prayer life's fine. You just stay in the pew. But if you can do a better job talking to the Lord and committing yourself to Him, why don't you just come right now? Why don't you just come right on? This will change your life. This will change you. How many of you might just come right now and say, "Preacher, I need to give God as much time as I give the world"? Come right on. We get some business done tonight with the Lord. I'm going to pray because I'm going to tell you what I've learned. Having a healthy prayer life is something you've got to work on all the time. I didn't just decide 10 years ago I was going to have a great prayer life. I've got to decide every day. Sometimes I fail. You remember the illustration Brother Rick gave that changed my heart one night when he talks about how that there was a path worn out to where he prayed. One day he looked up and there was weeds growing in that path. Boy, it happened to me so many times I can't count. Would there be others tonight that would just come? This is revival. This is where revival comes. When we learn to be obedient to the Spirit, a student of the Scripture, and a prayer warrior. You may be here tonight and you're unsafe. You may be here tonight and you've never prayed a prayer asking the Lord into your life. I wonder tonight, while nobody's looking around, maybe you slipped your hand up of mine. By that you're saying, "Preacher, I'm unsaved. I've never asked the Lord to be my Savior. Pray for me." Anybody? Just slip that hand up, take it right back down. Just acknowledge tonight, "Preacher, I know I'm not by the call. I need the Lord." Anybody? Anybody tonight? Oh, men and women, God said we ought always to pray. And we ought to pray without ceasing. Tonight, if you're not a man or woman of prayer, you'll never be all that God would want you to be. I beseech you, brethren. You mind the Lord tonight.
I pray, Lord dear God, she'd give her heart to you. I pray, Lord, with her heart in your hand. I pray you'll lead her down the paths of righteousness, prayer, and faith. Hold her, Lord, I pray. I'll be a testimony, Lord, in this world.
Before we sing, I appreciate folks coming to the altar. But if all you do is come to the altar tonight, nothing changes tomorrow, nothing's been done tonight. Amen. Since you've come to the altar, and I'm sorry, I don't want to discourage anybody from not coming to the altar. But I heard the Billy Mitchell say one time that a lot of times us Baptists, we're so programmed that when the preacher's done, we know the next thing we're supposed to do is go to the altar. We've almost made the altar none effect because we just go and we go back and there's no change. What's really needed is change.
Yes, man.
I tell folks all the time about this. I'm a preacher. I'm pastor. My job is to get people to come to church every time the door's open. And I strive to do that. My job is to get people to pray all they can and to read the Word of God all they can. But I tell people this, and I'm honest. I say, well, if you ain't been reading your Bible none, if you start reading a verse a day, you're doing better than you did. You got to start somewhere. And you may not be able to pray an hour. You might not be able to pray 30 minutes. But if you get a set time and get along with the Lord every day, that's better than what you've been doing if you've been doing anything. Amen. The psalmist said, "Even morning and noon, you'll hear my voice at a set time." Acts 3, the Bible said it's a ninth hour they gathered for prayer. In other words, there was a time that they prayed. And you know them, the Muslims, well, they drop everything when it's time to pray to Allah. They're praying that God ain't even going to hear them.
Yes.
And, but we can't switch the TV off or shut the cell phone off. It's long enough to get with God a few minutes. That's what's needed.
Yes.
That's what's needed.
Right.
And in our life, is we just need to draw closer to the Lord and have a deeper prayer life with God. And I'm sure everybody in here that's saved, I believe you pray. Because I don't believe you'd be a Christian and not pray.
Amen.
My daughter-in-law's back there. She's about 9 months expecting a child that's going to be born any day. Any day. I pray everything will be well. And if it is, when that baby's born, the doctor, the nurse practitioner will take that baby and they'll slap it and it'll take a big breath and begin to cry and then it'll breathe. About what happens to a child of God. When you get saved, you start to pray.
Yeah.
Jesus took it for granted if you was a child of God, you was going to pray because he said when you pray.
Yeah.
When you pray. Alright? That's none of my business, and I'm not going to ask anybody, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I just wonder, answer them in your own heart today. How much you pray today?
Yeah, brother. Amen.
If God blessed us like he did this week, and this little praying going on, like the preacher said, what would the Lord do if we got serious about it? Amen.
About it.
Well, I'll tell you this. America's probably gone too far to ever have a revival.
Yeah.
We can have a local revival. We can have a revival in a church. God will revive you.
Right. Amen.
And nothing's impossible with God, so I'm not going to say the Lord couldn't do it. If he wanted to, he could. It looked like Nineveh was gone, and God turned it around, gave the greatest revival there ever was, so God can do whatever he wants to do. He's God. Amen, he's God. But if there was ever a time that we need to pray, it's right now.
Amen.
We need to pray for our children, pray for our church, pray for our country. Amen. And pray for our leaders. You say, I can't pray for the leaders. Well, you know, sometimes you just got to pray, got to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And, I preached on the radio the other day, come out over the radio, and I said, we need to pray for these leaders. We need to pray that they'll get saved, and we need to pray that they'll change, and if they ain't going to get saved or change, we need to pray God kill them.
Amen.
Get them out of the way, because they're killing this country. Amen. You say, they'll come to rescue. I didn't say I was going to kill them. I said, we'll pray God to kill them. And that's God's business. He's merciful, so maybe the Lord reached down. But we're sure in a mess, folks. We're sure in a mess. Amen. And I appreciate Brother Andy. And I appreciate that preaching tonight. All week's been good. Appreciate you coming tonight. Amen. And thank God that there's still a few, still a remnant around.
Yeah.
We all falter and fail and come away short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Ezra sat over there one place in Ezra, he talked about a little reviving.
Right.
Yeah.
We're so far down the road, just a little reviving go a long ways.
Yeah.
If we could just have a little reviving, amen. But we're sure glad you come. And I hope you will pray, and I hope God will remind you of this. And I'm sure tonight, I've heard testimonies of some tonight. Of a praying mother, praying grandmother. Many people, you know, prayer changes lives. Prayer changes things. And I know sure as I'm standing here, I'm here because my mother prayed. And she didn't tell me that, Brother John. I was 25 years old, and I went and told her God had called me to preach. And she said, when the doctor brought me to her and laid me upon her breast, he said that she prayed and said, God, take this boy and use him and give him back to you. 26 years later, God reached up and got that prayer vial off the shelves of prayer. And God said, we're going to answer that mother's prayer today. Some of you got some sitting up praying for a lost husband or wayward granddaughter out there somewhere away from God. I've got one of them myself. Pray for it. Pray for it. But pray. Amen. Pray.
Yes, amen.
That's what we need to do, Brother Andy. Hit the nail on the head. Yes. Good message to end up with tonight. Pray.
Amen.
Pray. Amen. Thank the Lord. All right. Praise God. Word on anyone's heart tonight before we dismiss. Yes, Sister Charlotte.
Yes,
Brother
Ricky, I want to thank the Lord for being here all week. Bless him.
Amen.
Yes. And I think it's wonderful for all the churches.